Podcast 103, God the Father. The Gospel reading for today's podcast is Luke chapter 11, verses 1 to 11. The first Sunday in September is always Father's Day, so we're following that theme today with our readings and sermon. For me, I was very lucky to have a kind and loving human father who blessed my life. Not everyone is so fortunate. And I recognize that for some people, their experiences and memories of their earthly father are not so convivial. As we think today of the characteristics of God the Father, my hope is that there will be a measure of healing for people who have been hurt by their heavenly earthly fathers, and the awakening of renewed trust for all of us in God the Father, who knows us and loves us dearly and deeply. One of my more whimsical online purchases is a t-shirt that I took a fancy to. It's quite simple, grey in colour, and the text on the chest says, "You can't scare me, I have daughters." The privilege of being a father is not a blessing everyone has, and it is both a privilege and a responsibility. Sometimes more than a little scary, hence the grain of truth in the t-shirt slogan. In the Genesis reading today, we hear the story of God the Father caring for his first children, Adam and Eve. God the Father provides for their needs in the garden. He gives them boundaries. He gives them a measure of responsibility and autonomy. He sets the pattern of relationship between himself and his children. They are loved, valued, and respected. In this first chapter of the biblical narrative, God reveals his fatherhood, and the nature of his fatherhood is the model for all fathers, for all time, since then. Genesis 1:26 tells us, God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God he created them. Male and female, he created them. God the Father is the model father, and at their best, all fathers intuitively want to be fathers like God the Father. Sadly, sin, fallen human nature, and other factors often interfere with this direction to follow in the footsteps of God the Father. So looking at the gospel passage for today, this is about Jesus teaching the disciples what we have come to call the Lord's Prayer. And the Lord's Prayer starts, as we all know, "Our Father in heaven," or in Hebrew, "Avinu Shebashamayim." Note that this Hebrew phrase is not unique to the Lord's Prayer. It is the opening phrase for a number of Hebrew prayers. However, the word that Jesus uses for Father when he starts the Lord's Prayer was certainly different from this common Hebrew phrase, because it was an Aramaic word, not a Hebrew word. Abba was the intimate word used for father in a family setting. In today's world, in English, we'd probably say daddy. Jesus is modeling our relationship with God the Father in one word, daddy. Personal, intimate, loving, relational, trusting. All the things a good father-son relationship implies. Jesus uses this word to guide his disciples in how they are relate to God the Father. Jesus' use of the word Abba is only found in one other place in the Gospels, in Mark 14, verse 36, when Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane. There he prays, "Abba, Father, for you all things are possible. Remove this cup from me, yet not what I want, but what you want." In his hour of deepest despair, Jesus appeals to his daddy to allow him out of the terrible price he must pay for the consequences of man's sin. And this is the measure of the depth and strength of his relationship with God the Father, that he is obedient to the terrible path lying before him. So the Lord's Prayer is not only a model of how we should pray, it's also a model of how we, as children of God, relate to our Heavenly Father, and how our Heavenly Father relates to us. In the Lord's Prayer, we acknowledge that God the Father is holy, and we are not. We seek God the Father's will for our lives, and we ask for his will to prevail over all the earth. We come before God the Father with our basic needs, such as our daily bread. And we know that God the Father knows all our needs before we even ask him. We confess our sins to him, and in return we receive forgiveness. He is our model for forgiving sins. We are required to model that same behavior as we forgive those who trespass against us. In this way, God the Father is remaking us into his own image. We pray that we may not be led into temptation and may be delivered from evil. We acknowledge our frailty before God the Father and how easily we sometimes fall. We are vulnerable before God the Father with our weaknesses. We don't hide parts of our life from God and pretend everything is okay when it is not. This prayer Jesus is teaching his disciples is not a prayer to a God who is far away and distant, cold and remote like the stars. This is Abba, God the Father, who is intensely interested in every part of our lives, who wants to live closely in relationship with us, and is deeply committed to our well-being. For our part, we must have the courage to be open, honest, and transparent before God. For Scripture tells us that God the Father knows us intimately, even before we were born. Psalm 139 verse 13 says, "For it was you who formed my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb." And in verse 15, "Your eyes beheld my unformed substance. In your book were all the days that were formed for me, when none of them yet existed." God the Father knows all about us, from when we are born to when we die. He knows all my days, what my life is going to hold, where I'm going to live, what kind of work I'll do, and all the circumstances of my life. Not only does God the Father know all about us, God the Father adopts us into his family. As Paul tells us in Galatians 4, and this is the Message version, "You can tell for sure that you are now fully adopted as his own children, because God sent the Spirit of his Son into our lives, crying out, Abba, Papa, Father." Doesn't that privilege of intimate conversation with God make it plain that you are not a slave, but a child? And if you are a child, you are also an heir with complete access to the inheritance. So Paul, in his letter to the Galatians, reinforces what Jesus has said to the disciples when he was teaching them the Lord's Prayer, using the exact same word Jesus used, Abba, Papa, Father. Paul confirms that we are children of God the Father in a living relationship with him. Relationships. This is what God the Father is about. This is what God the Father wants with us. However, this is not the only thing God the Father wants for us. The Apostle James points out that faith without works is dead. Back in the beginning in Genesis, God the Father provided in very practical ways for Adam and Eve. James reminds us, "Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. The outworking of our close relationship with God the Father is that the love that he freely bestows on us then overflows out to others in need. If you are a parent, is there any better feeling than seeing your child being kind and helpful to someone else? And I wonder how God the Father feels when he sees that with us. So to sum up, God the Father is the model for all good fathers. God the Father knows us intimately. God the Father wants relationship with us. And God the Father's love overflows from us to others.